Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. Distinguished delegates, colleagues, ladies and gentlemen, we are living in a time of multiple crises. These are grabbing the headlines and requiring the international community to find solutions on so many fronts. What will it be next? A new wave of natural disasters in another vulnerable area of the globe? Or will it be a global water crisis? It may seem right to seek solutions in the tried and tested systems of the past, but perhaps we need to find a new set of answers for a new century, ones that balance the realities with new approaches, ones that echo to a diversity of responses that recognize the differing circumstances of countries and communities, ones that do not simply attempt to solve one crisis independently of its links with the others. What are the choices? One choice is to simply ratchet up the agricultural production systems of the 20th century, a model that one might call reductionist. Reductionist in the sense that we are coming to depend on an ever smaller suite of crops. Reductionist too, if we ignore in large part the wealth of agricultural biodiversity that has nourished humanity for millennia. Reductionist also because farming is being reduced to a simple process of intensification, centering on the notion that ever more chemical inputs will solve our difficulties. If the goal is simply to maximize yields at the cost of all else, then perhaps we are on the right course. But UNEP, among others, is convinced that this is not the model that will ultimately serve the interests of either the developing or the developed world. And what about the wider price we pay, for which the bill arrives but only at a later date? The price of increasing the number of dead or deoxygenated zones in the seas and oceans which challenge fish stocks. The price of reductions in biodiversity, including the simple life forms that underpin the fertility of the soils. The price of a continued spread of land degradation and its consequences, including those for farming. The price of clear felling of forests for animal feeds and food, with impacts on soil stability and water resources and climate change. The wholesale clearance of mangroves for shrimp farms and aquaculture that can increase the vulnerability of communities to extreme weather events. If we leave all of these prices out of the equation, we will have ignored all that another set of delegates representing the very same governments will have talked about in Bonn only last week at the Conference of the Parties of the Biodiversity Convention. Definitely, we must assist the millions currently priced out of the food markets, but we might also seize the opportunity to plan a new green revolution, one with a capital G. Take water. Is it about using more or damming more, or is it about using less but using it more intelligently? Take soil fertility. Yes, in some areas, such as sub-Saharan Africa, we may need more fertilizer use. Take biodiversity. But there are other investment and management options that work with nature-based services rather than against them, services that make agriculture possible in the first place and which will be required to make agriculture possible in the long run. I'm talking here about the health and diversity of the microbes, beetles, worms, and other humble life forms whose presence is at the very root of productive agricultural systems. Why should we not invest in these rather than in ever larger amounts of artificial inputs that often kill the very life forms upon which soil productivity is founded? And what about bees, bats, and other pollinators whose services are worth tens of billions of dollars if only those services were properly captured in national and global measures of value? Agriculture in the 21st century and the need to feed 9 billion people will not be possible in a world without them. And we do not have the machines or devices that can replace what the billions of bees currently do for free? And what about forests, stabilizers of soils and securers of water supplies? An investment in forest conservation is not only good for agriculture, but important for carbon sequestration, as well as a source of genetic diversity. The challenges, but also the opportunities, get wider if we look beyond the latest crisis. Sure, we need investment in seeds and in tools and in farm equipment, in creative market mechanisms such as insurance policies and so on, in political processes and approaches to more fairly manage global commodity markets, trades and subsidies. In our view, the current food situation is a symptom of a set of interacting forces relating to sustainability. Perhaps here in Rome, we can not only recognize these interacting forces and the interdependence between nations and natural systems, but we can act on that understanding by reflecting them in our responses. Thank you. Thank you.